College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
This female 4B movement that we have to talk about, and also, boy, a lot of issues with some females at Disney and ABC, from Rachel Zegler, who is who I like to call the woke Snow White, and Whoopi Goldberg. Big, big controversy regarding Whoopi, what she claimed happened versus what the rebuttal to that is. We'll get to that as well. But before all of that, let's get to the news. Round number two at 7:02, the great Dawn Stensland.
And good morning, Kale and Company. News live this morning, Monday morning, November the 18th. We are in for some balmy weather today, 48 degrees right now. I'll tell you how warm it's going to get. We are sponsored this morning by Piazza Auto Group. So in the news, we talked about the investigation into those shootings involving two teenagers, two separate shootings. Not a lot of information on that. The two 15-year-olds, a boy and a girl, totally separate shootings, hours apart just yesterday. Those are still under investigation. A lot of other news this morning. And that's because we have a triple threat, they're calling, because we have three Philadelphia unions representing SEPTA operators and all the municipal workers. They're all threatening to strike at the very same time.
Uh-oh.
So in this one, we've been updating this for you. They've been negotiating, but we have, first of all, AFSCME, District Council 33. So DC 33, Philadelphia's, this is the largest union representing thousands of blue-collar city staffers. And this has to do from your sanitation workers, in other words, your garbage collection, to those prison workers, to even library employees, as well as the school crossing guards. So it covers quite a large group of individuals. They voted to strike, but they've been at the negotiation table. We're following that one. And SEPTA has been in talks with the Transport Workers Union Local 234, as well as those Smart TD Local. Those workers who are more like some of your suburban SEPTA employees. So this affects not just Philadelphia, but also some of your suburban SEPTA workers as well. So three big unions, they're holding these regular discussions. They've been in these contract talks, but three unions, I'm not hearing Mayor Parker speak about this. The concern is starting to grow here.
Yeah.
As it's now, these folks have been working, the vast majority working without a contract for quite some time.
How awful do you think public transit, I mean, if SEPTA strikes, what are the roadways going to be like? Are we going to be in, like, complete gridlock? For the individuals out there that take SEPTA but still have a vehicle, I mean, all of those people then start getting on the roadways, and those that don't have a vehicle, how do they then get to work? I mean, I would imagine Uber and Lyft, right? So now all of a sudden traffic becomes more unbearable?
What about tens of thousands of school children that don't have school buses?
Right.
So they can't get to school, and workers can't get to work in the city of Philadelphia, can't get to City Hall.
Right.
And then on top of it, your garbage. In the past, the big one that everybody notices immediately is that your garbage is mm-hmm. sitting out there.
Yep.
And then the rats get into it, and the squirrels and the raccoons and whatever, and so it's a hot mess.
Unbelievable.
So
this would not be a good look for Sherelle Parker if she wraps up year one.
No. Mm-mm. I mean, so we're just following that one for you. Another developing story that we've talked about is the recount update. The recount, as we broke that story this morning, the recount involving the hotly contested U.S. Senate race involving incumbent Senator Bob Casey Jr. and Senator-elect Dave McCormick, because by all accounts, everybody has called this race. So in this one, the recount update is some counties have started this. They must start it by Wednesday. That's the deadline that you have to have started it in all of Philadelphia's, 57 different counties. I believe Philadelphia County, we've confirmed that one, will start Wednesday or before, but should be done within 3 days. But I thought it was interesting that the Philadelphia Inquirer has a story this morning about Casey Jr. that, well, why is his case different than that of Trump questioning the election result and demanding recounts and so on in Pennsylvania? And they're saying, well, Casey is using the quote, and I'm quoting here, the system's legal channels to wait out vote tabulation and fight to have ballots count. So he's using the legal system and the court system, although the Philadelphia Inquirer does note that this doesn't seem like it's going to go his way. Mm-hmm. But they're saying he's doing it legally, even though Trump as well did try to, let us not forget, use the courts.
I saw two interesting headlines on Saturday. The Philadelphia Inquirer Saturday for a column. Bob Casey isn't conceding the U.S. Senate race, but he's not denying the integrity of the election results either. And then the Washington Post, of all places, with a strong column, an op-ed, Democrats thumb their nose at the rule of law in Pennsylvania. And the guy that wrote this says, elections need rules and they must be applied equally and consistently.
And I'll just point out that it's my belief, I have inferred from everything I've learned, that the reason they reached that legal threshold, the percentage, to even do the recount, was because these counties initially, and we reported this last week, like Philadelphia, like Montgomery County, like Bucks County, they started to count those ballots that by all accounts are not, you're not supposed to legally count them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I have inferred from all of the information and interviews that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
And so if true, then they were using essentially a pathway that's might be called a dirty trick to try to trigger the recount, when in fact, had they abided by the law of the land, that the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania may very well put the kibosh on this.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what my argument was late in the week last week. I have no issue that you want a recount and that you're trying to figure out just how close you were to see if there were mistakes. But your methodology and the way you're going about it by looking for votes that are illegal, that we should not be counting. And we went through the four different what was it? Unsigned, undated, wrong dates. No, those have to be discarded. I don't care what your party is. If you can't fill out the ballot properly, it is discarded. It should not count.
But, Nick, they used those. What I'm saying is they used those to count to up the numbers. That's the allegation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, I mean, by all accounts, a dirty trick, if you will. That's the accusation and the allegation here is that you guys knew that this would be overturned, but you used this to even get the recount.
Right.
And now that you're here and you're counting, and so that goes, the question there goes to somebody like Al Schmidt, who is, he says he's a Republican and he's following the rule of law. But are there ways that the legislature needs to look at these laws and tighten them up so there are not any longer these loopholes?
Because
at the end of the day, and that's something Linda Kearns, when she's called in, right? What she says is that this is concerning to all voters, Democrats and Republicans, because we don't want this to happen.
Right.
We want these laws to be ironclad so that people don't question that their vote matters.
This is also a bad look for Governor Josh Shapiro as well, allowing this to happen under his watch with his party.
That's such a good point. So we'll continue to follow it, and hopefully it wraps up. And, you know, the great Linda Kearns, and she was texting us this morning and just letting us know that they have the proper amount of witnesses in play, that there are people, they've fully staffed this. So that on both sides, you do have individuals who are witnessing, you have the attorneys, and there's a ton of election, you know, transparency and integrity involved here to make sure that they fight to protect the vote. So we have that one going on. I wanted to just lay this out here, and that is an update about something we talked about earlier this morning that we could have a look. First of all, the Sixers in Miami tonight with no Embiid or Maxey. The Flyers have been on a winning streak. Hopefully they continue that winning streak again tonight against the Avalanche. And as far as the update with a story that we've talked about, and Nick was talking about this earlier, and Greg was playing some of the audio about all of these different, you know, Trump dances and all of that, the celebration. We talked about the Raiders PR team basically silencing Brock Bowers media availability after he did his, you know, his little Trump dance. But remember that we had talked about, Nick, you had talked about this, and Greg had played some audio with San Francisco 49ers star defensive end Nick Bosa.
Mm-hmm.
And he, before the election, he had run in during an interview that was live, and this was right before the election. He had a Make America Great Again hat. It was not a Trump hat. It was a Make America Great Again hat. He was fined the $11,255 for violating the NFL uniform and equipment rules. And Bosa did. He was quoted as saying it was well worth it.
Oh, yes. Yes, he has absolutely said that. You know, the NFL's like, is there a rule for that? Like, where's the handbook at? Bill, get me the handbook. Code 3, Section 2, Subset 1. There we go. Yeah. Whack him. What's the max? 11 grand? 11 grand.
$11,255. The guy makes his extension is the contract extension. I looked it up. $170 million contract extension. I think he can afford $11,255.
$170 million, huh?
But I just find it's interesting that that they're saying that you're not allowed to either in writing or give a personal message. But his message was, make America great again.
Well,
you're not allowed to say, make America great again.
No, you're not. Because the left implies things.
So I think he's just going to suck it up. But I would love him to appeal that and say, really, you're not allowed to say, America great again?
What's going to happen when all these players start doing it? And there's so many of them. They're going to find everybody? You know? I mean, eventually it's just going to become such a popular thing. And you're just going to have to accept it and deal with it. Or else you're going to have a lot of players that are disgruntled. I could see it getting to the point where these players just don't care anymore. I really can, especially the ones that make a lot of money, like Bosa, you just said. I didn't know that $170 million extension. But, you know, if you're on a rookie contract, 11 grand means something to you. So
it's so true.
Yep.
Well, we are sponsored by Piazza Auto Group, piazzaautogroup.com. And the season of performance event is here and has arrived at Piazza Actor of Ardmore, Reading, Westchester. So you want to get ahead of this great event. Shop online today, piazzaautogroup.com. Thank you, Piazza Auto Group. Some incredible deals thanks to our friends at piazzaautogroup.com.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 855-839-1210. So we covered the Trump side of things, men, post-election, signs going up, athletes, alphas doing the MAGA Trump dance. Let's look at the other side. Let's look at the female side. I've got a story from the New York Times, and Politico also has a similar version of this. The New York Times with the headline, Men? Maybe Not. And this is in regards to this movement that began in South Korea. It's called the 4B movement. And I just want to read you two excerpts, one from the New York Times, one from the New York, and one from Politico. And then we're going to get to a little old Snow White, Rachel Zegler, here in a minute. But the New York Times, Mary Solis writes the following. If you were looking for a single example of just how strange things were getting between men and women this election cycle, one political ad seemed to capture the mood perfectly. I believe Stocker actually played this on the cut sheet a while back, probably in October. It was an ad that was narrated by Julia Roberts. It featured a woman who was accompanied by her husband to the polls, but alone in the voting booth. As she considers her options, she catches another woman's knowing eye before privately filling in the Harris Walls bubble. He'll never know, their subtle nod to each other seems to say, and he'll never understand. Quote, did you make the right choice? The woman's husband asks when she emerges. Sure did, honey, she replies. Then she goes on to write further. In the last year alone, there has been an explosion of young women who say they are deleting dating apps, whose market value has plummeted, female celebrities, among others, who have taken vows of celibacy or identify as, quote, self-partnered, divorce memoirs by older millennial and Gen X women expressing profound disillusionment with heterosexual marriage, and trends like boy sober, which preaches the virtues of decentering men to focus on self-improvement and platonic relationships. President-elect Donald Trump's decisive election victory last week seemed to turbocharge feelings of the unrest, at least amongst those who didn't vote for him, leading to a surge in interest in South Korea's 4B movement, which encourages women to reject dating, marrying, having sex, and children with men. Politico writes the following. Is the 4B movement a vision for life without men in the next political protest sustainable? No sex, no dating, no babies, no marriage. How the 4B movement could change America. All right. There's going to be a lot of unhinged, unhealthy women out there that are going to have breakdowns. And I don't think this is sustainable. Dawn, you feel free to clobber me in the head at any moment if I say something out of line, completely sexist. But I actually believe. And
you
this,
have a lot of bruises.
I would look like a battered husband, wouldn't I? Like, I believe that it works both ways. You know, men need women, women need men. We can all sit here, I'm done with chicks, and ladies can say, I'm done with men, those pigs, those B words. So, because eventually, when you settle down and you think about marriage and you think about children, you got to bring the opposite gender home to meet mom and dad, right? And you can't bring certain items home to meet mom and dad. You can't bring a website home or an app. Eventually, you bring that physical being next to you and you say, Mom, this is Chelsea. Dad, this is Bobby. We're in love, right? But I feel like this movement is out of spite, I think.
Of course
is that
it
the
is.
Best way to say it?
Yeah, it's out of spite. And by the way, you are correct. We both genders need each other, but men need women a lot more than women need men. I mean, that's just the facts. I get it. I understand. I understand what you're saying. But, like, men really need women more than...
Well, especially men like you and I, because we're very inept in many departments. We can't assemble things. You know, we're terrible at that, right? But I want to play you this. This was... If we've played you this clip before. Phil, this is K1. This is the woke Snow White. This clip is probably about a year old, but she's back in the headlines again post-election. This is Rachel Zegler when she went off about a year ago on the new Snow White that is now coming out in 2025, where she basically says we're redoing Snow White in the progressive era and she doesn't need a man. Listen and watch this.
Longer 1937.
She's not going to be saved by the prince.
She's not going to be saved by the prince, and she's not going to be dreaming about true love. She's dreaming about becoming the leader she knows she can be, and the leader that her late father told her that she could be if she was fearless, fair, brave, and true. The original cartoon came out in 1937, and very evidently so. There's a big focus on her love story with a guy who literally stalks her. Weird. So we didn't do that this time.
I was scared of the original cartoon. I think I watched it once and then I never picked it up again. I watched it for the first time in probably 16, 17 years. The cartoon was made 85 years ago, and therefore it's extremely dated when it comes to the ideas of women being in roles of power.
So that is the 23-year-old Rachel Zegler, who we played this for you about a year ago. That movie, The New Snow White, will be coming out this March in 2025. And she had a social media meltdown over Donald Trump winning the election, where she posted the following, and I think this was on Instagram. I find myself speechless in the midst of this. May Trump supporters and Trump voters and Trump himself never know peace. Another 4 years of hatred, leaning us towards a world I do not want to live in, leaning us towards a world that will be hard to raise my daughter in. By the way, she doesn't have a kid. She's not married. She doesn't have a daughter. So now there's a lot of pushback to that. And she had to issue a bunch of apologies saying, quote, I would like to sincerely apologize for the post-election post I shared on my Instagram last week that she wrote in a stories post on Friday after the election. I let my emotions get the best of me. Hatred and anger have caused us to move us further and further away from peace and understanding, and I am so sorry I contributed to the negative discourse. In a magnanimous gesture, she added that she believes everyone has the right to their opinion, even when it differs from my own. Quote, I am committed to contributing positively toward a better tomorrow. You know, I don't know, Dawn, if I was Disney and I'm paying Rachel Zegler a ton of money to put out a new rendition of Snow White, and I'm a company that has been labeled as super, super woke and anti-Trump, and everything that Disney has touched lately with their, you know, progressive reboots of timeless classics as they try to put a left-wing slant on characters and themes and storylines of things that have been tremendous for over 100 years, they all crash and burn. They all bomb. And I don't need a 23-year-old with no kids, not married, has really zero responsibility, as Greg Stocker would say, has zero skin in the game, all of a sudden denigrating half of America. Because the last time I checked, Rachel, Trump supporters, you know what? They have disposable income. And what do you do when you have disposable income and you have a family at some point with your children from birth until 18? What's a bucket list item for many families? A trip to Disney World. Why would you want to alienate half of the country with your social media posts as a 23-year-old that doesn't know what it's like to be a real adult? These are the type of people out there that I just can't stand.
I think a lot of ways the Disney executives and a lot of them are a lot like, well, they are Democrats, but they have the same mindset in that they misread where the country is going.
1,000%.
And now all of a sudden they look stupid. And I have in 20 minutes, I have probably the greatest clip you will ever see. People who literally called Trump Hitler now are bending the knee. I kid you not. I will play that in about 20 minutes. But I think that a lot of them misread this, and that's why they are...
Because they live in a bubble.
Exactly.
They live in a bubble.
Yeah.
Look, get over yourselves. First, number one, DJT, I mean, Trump won the popular vote. It's, what is it, by the time, we're still at 99% reporting, but closing in on 77 million people voting for Trump.
Right.
So this is a huge election, and I think that at the end of the day, when I look at these women that we've been showing over the past since Election Day, women saying, you know, I'm going to shave my head, or crying over an app or whatever. What I see here, honestly, is that these individuals need help. No, I'm really serious.
I agree.
Have a mental health crisis that has nothing to do with Trump. And so I'm glad that they're publicly revealing their own personal mental health crisis that's going on, and their family and friends need to rush to them and help them, because it has nothing to do with politics, has nothing to do with Trump. They need help.
Yes, I agree. I mean, she gives off AOC vibes. First of all, she looks like AOC.
I was
just
gonna say that.
She kind of sounds like her, yeah. And it's the same rhetoric that you get from, like, squad dem females. I don't need men. I hate Trump. The world's going to burn.
And yet AOC has a, you know, is married or engaged, and some say even maybe having a baby with Riley, her fiance, or her life mate, whatever you want to say. So,
and he's a white guy, right?
Yeah, and I would say this, that should we not look at these narratives given out by Democrats saying that you're in danger, that MAGA Republicans, not just the candidates, but the MAGA supporters, they're a danger to democracy. Perhaps this is the impact that you have told people with a serious face that you think not only candidates, but their supporters like me, okay, that I'm somehow a danger to democracy or to you. And that's horrifying. And maybe we could ask the question, well, did you all and the media that carried that narrative, did you actually contribute now to a mental health crisis among, in particular, young women?
Yeah.
Shame on you.
Yeah, it's just laughable. I'm not even really angry at somebody like Rachel Zegler. She's young. She doesn't know any better. I was oblivious when I was 23 on politics as well. But man, you like, from a bottom line business standpoint, you've got a movie coming out in 5 months. Why are you trying to shoot yourself in the foot? You're not paid for political commentary. Just shut up already. She was getting roasted late last week, and rightfully so, by a lot of people that said stuff far worse than I'm saying. I'm not going to sit here and say some of the things that others said, but I will share it, and I'll pass it along. Megyn Kelly called her a pig.
Aw.
Called her a pig.
Look, I just think that these people got played. They bought into all of this stuff.
It's just enough with the hysteria. And the worst part is, and she's probably too young to realize it because she was 15 when he got elected. It's like, Rachel, you already lived through a Trump presidency once. It was your high school years, probably, if you were still in high school and not working full-time as an actress as a teenager. How bad was your life?
They've been manipulated. Some of these people are having mental breakdowns. And it's not funny, and it's not good. And then they should look at Joe Biden welcoming Trump to the White House last week, all smiles and happy. Everything's good. Welcome back to the White House. This was all just like a Madison Square Garden pregame event where they were just talking tough.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't mean it. Biden didn't mean it. None of the Democrats did. And so for these young people who now suffer, I mean, I think some of these people genuinely are having a mental health breakdown.
Yeah. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. But first, a word from my friends at DuckDuckGo, because we're all tired of the big search engines out there, right? Google, Yahoo, Bing, Microsoft. We don't trust them. They suppress search results. They spy on you. It's just awful. And that's why I'm so proud to partner with DuckDuckGo again. The best search engine going, and they are local. And now they're taking your online privacy and security to the next level, which is why I have subscribed to Privacy Pro from DuckDuckGo, and I would encourage you to do the same. This 3-in-1 privacy service is going to give you a secure VPN anytime, anywhere. We're all on the go. Sometimes you're working from the office. Sometimes you're working from home. Sometimes at a coffee shop or a restaurant. You're going to want that secure VPN anywhere you go. Then, of course, we have identity theft restoration. We don't want anybody stealing bank information, social security numbers, all of the important details that make you unbelievably you. We will be able to restore your identity in the event that this occurs. And then, of course, personal information removal. Get it all off the internet so the hackers, the scammers, and the con artists out there cannot compromise your identity. Take advantage of this offer now. Just go to duckduckgo.com/1210 for a free 7-day trial offer. That's duckduckgo.com/1210. After that, you're going to want to stay aboard. It's just $9.99 per month. Duckduckgo.com. Use the code 1210.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Men, in light of Trump's victory and also how the NFL and a lot of the sports world out there embracing the mainstream MAGA movement. We'll get through all of your calls here. Let me start right at the top. We'll go back to a lot of the sports Trump dancing impersonations conversation. Neil is in Dover, and he has some thoughts. Neil, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. First of all, I used to live in Jersey, and I live in Dover now for 2 years, and I'm still able to get this station, and I'm so happy.
Great.
Because awesome. You guys are the best station in the morning. So
Thank you, Neil.
I love Rich, but I love you. You do a fantastic job. So
I appreciate that.
Anyway, I stopped watching NFL for a while because when Boza couldn't wear a mega hat, but at the back end of their helmets, they're allowed to put Black Lives Matter, all these social commentaries on the back of that helmet, but that was okay.
That's right. Yep.
And I don't think that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, to me, the hypocrisy of this with the NFL is whether it's on the back of the helmet, you can have these personalized social justice messages. We've got end zones that have political and social justice messages. Yet Nick Bosa goes up on Sunday Night Football behind a live reporter wearing the MAGA hat, and he's whacked for $11,000. By the way, that's post-game. So it's not like he was wearing that on the field and making a political statement during the course of the game.
That's a good point.
Right?
Yeah, you guys, hey, keep up the good work.
Thanks, Neil.
I enjoy calling in every once in a while. Thank you.
All right. Well, you're welcome anytime, Neil.
Neil in Dover.
There you go.
Signal loud and clear in Dover, Delaware.
About that.
Nice.
Good. All right. Let's get to some of the people that want to weigh in on the Snow White female commentary. And we start with our buddy Ted. He's in Swarthmore. He's up next on Talk Radio 1210. Hello, Ted.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing today? It's a wonderful day in this world.
Yes.
Hey, as far as the women, I thought that, you know, Roe v. Wade was on the ballot and people were going to die, yet they figured out all they have to do is stop having sex and they won't need an abortion. That's interesting how that works.
Oh, my God.
Just totally interesting.
Yeah, and there's a lot of ways to look at it, Ted. I mean, on the state level and in, you know, primaries and non-presidential elections, it is blown up in the face of Republicans. I think it'll be interesting to see moving forward if that continues or if Trump's an outlier, right? Maybe it was just because this is a presidential election, the economy, the border, things like that. But when we get to 2026 in some of these smaller races, so to speak, I'll be interested to see how much that plays out at a, not a grassroots level, but a state level or at a local level.
Yeah, and they just, it's just one more complaint of something that they're making up. You know what? I just say it over and over again. just wait. They'll change their mind real soon.
Well, I think really what the Democrats need to do is, honestly, they need to pivot away from all of this far left stuff. Because if you look at any of the polls out there, you know, who subscribes to this policy and how many people actually believe biological men should be competing in sports with females, it is such a fringe percentage of Americans. You're not in a country right now this divided where you hear so many people saying, I just want common sense policies. You're not going to win on all of this absurd nonsense that only 9% of Americans subscribe to. Like, I think Republicans found out the hard way 3 years ago that you're not going to win on the culture wars, right? Like, we saw DeSantis and guys like Glenn Youngkin have success a few years ago. And then after that anticipated red wave never materialized. And I think Democrats were like, okay, we just keep riding this out. I think they realized it's not a winning formula for sustainability moving forward, right?
Politics is cyclical, guys.
It really is.
It's just the pendulum swings. And whenever the pendulum goes too far in one direction, the electorate brings it back. In 1991, 1992, the electorate felt like the religious right was taking over too much of the country, so they brought in Bill Clinton. It's an ever-evolving thing that swings back and forth. So if the question is, or you know, have the Democrats learned a lesson? No, they haven't learned a lesson. They're going to keep going down this road. It's just that the electorate told them, hey, you know, pump the brakes a little bit on all your nutty crap. Mm-hmm. And you know, let's get back to some, you know, reasonable discussions.
Yeah.
And you know, so to sit here and say, well, is this a trend? Is this a new? No, we don't know what 4 years is going to bring. Good God, nobody knows what 4 years is going
to
bring.
The best chance, I think, 4 years from now from Democrats to beat, presumably, let's say it's J.D. Vance. And by the way, it's not like, you know, Trump and J.D. Vance are some, like, right-wing platform with far-right policies. They're very common-sense policies. I would argue they're probably, you know, a little bit closer to moderate than they are conservative. The best chance the Democrats have will be to trot out their own sort of common-sense moderate candidate with policies, right? Whether that's Shapiro, whether that's Fetterman, whether that's Andy Beshear, the governor of Kentucky, if they think they're going to roll out Gavin Newsom and all the left-wing Looney Tunes stuff from the West Coast, they're probably going to stare the same defeat in their face unless, for some reason, Trump's an unmitigated disaster, which I don't anticipate that happening. Jason is in Mount Holly. He's up next. Jason, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. There are a couple of things. Yesterday, I was in a shop right in Mount Laurel, and I ran across a lady, and she saw me with my MAGA hat on, and she went ballistic on me, and I noticed she had a shaved head. And I realized she had when I looked down at her wrist, she had one of those blue bracelets on. So she started saying, oh, you should be a... Huh?
Like a medical bracelet?
No, it was like a blue bracelet that I guess they're identifying themselves as.
Blue Sky is the new new social media app that a lot of Democrats have.
I saw that
fled to. So
okay.
I don't know if it has something to do with that.
Okay,
but, yeah.
And that's is that an alternative to X?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen actually some people that I know that I like that I get along with in sports.
Did you not let him finish a story?
What's that? No, I was just trying to stay on the clock here.
Right,
trying to stay up to speed here.
I get you.
Yeah.
I was interested to hear what he had to say, though.
I'm sorry about that. Who was that? Jason?
Yeah.
Mount Holly? I'm sorry, Jason. I zapped you too quickly. But I've seen a lot of people with these. They're now advertising that they're going to the what is it called? Blue what?
Blue Sky.
Blue Sky.
I think so. I think that's how
I'm looking it up. It's the blue bracelet movement.
Oh, okay.
I thought he meant because some of the medical bracelets for mental hospitals are blue. That's what I thought he was. When you said what blue bracelet,
and so to your point with the bracelet, Dawn, blue whatever bracelets, and what does that signify? What are you telling people?
That they're white women are feeling betrayed by their peers, who the other women who voted for Trump, and so it's called the blue bracelet movement. I'm looking at a Glamour magazine because I knew you guys read Glamour magazine.
We do.
I check it out every time I'm in the grocery store.
They're saying wear a blue bracelet to show that this is your way of protesting.
So does this replace like the purple hair dye or the glasses, or does this replace like wearing a mask in public in 2020? Is this like a sign of virtue signaling? That's the feeling I get. That's the vibe I'm feeling right now. Very interesting. Blue bracelet. All right. Well, whatever. Whatever you got to do. Knock yourself out.
I don't understand what it. Well, whatever.
These people.
It's on TikTok. It's on social media.
Yeah. So, I can guarantee I will never be on Blue Sky or any of these other apps. I'm a one app kind of guy. 855-839-1210, the phone number. We'll come back, see what Stocker has lined up for a Monday edition of the Cut Sheet. Always my favorite because we have 3 days worth of audio to pull from, including some of the talking head shows of the weekend. And we'll do that when we come back. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
But we have to talk about our visit to paradise. I want you to come away with me to Italy. Yes, this is a gastronomical tour that we're going to take with our friends at Conservative Tours, the best tour operator in all of Italy. As you know, A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. I'm talking about Portofino and Rapallo, Santa Margherita Ligure, Tuscany, oh, beautiful Tuscany, and the brilliant Cinque Terre, $53.78. Yes, that includes your airfare, dining events galore at the wineries in Tuscany, even an authentic farm visit to see Parmesan cheese being crafted by hand. Just call toll free, 888-733-9494. You can go to conservativetours.com, scroll down, you'll see the my picture and name and full itinerary of just some of the places that we'll visit, like the hidden Italian villages you've never seen in person before, like Giacomo Puccini, San Gimignano, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, Florence, and Milan, and then concluding on the Lakes region with Bellagio, Orta, and Isola Bella. Join me next spring in Italy. I'll see you in Cinque Terre. ConservativeTours.com. Tell Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
What's on the cut sheet?
What's on the cut sheet on this Monday? Brought to you by Cherry Hill Volvo. Right now, lease an all-wheel drive XC90 for as low as $687 per month. Using all applicable rebates, see store for details. Relationships really do matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. Check them out on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. All right, this is very interesting to me because Morning Joe, Joe Scarborough, Mika Brzezinski spent 4 years telling us about how Donald Trump was a threat to democracy. Mika wore black on the day that after the election. She was going on every show that would have her, talking about all these women that died from abortion. I mean, like, literally, Handmaid's Tale was going to happen if Trump was elected. Well, this morning, as we were gabbing it up here, they disclosed that they went to Mar-a-Lago to throw out an olive branch to Donald Trump.
Wait, they visited Hitler?
Oh, they visited Hitler. Let me just say this. Everybody knows this. Everybody knows this. But I say this all the time. I don't care what side of the aisle they're on either, by the way. They're all phonies. Stop believing them. They're all phonies. Morning Joe and Mika. Oh, we went to Mar-a-Lago. I feel for them too. I feel for him. Yeah. All right, play a little bit of this until my guts hurt. And I'm gonna vomit from these two elitist D-bags.
By several of President-elect Trump's cabinet selections, and they are scared. Last Thursday, we expressed our own concerns on this broadcast, and even said we would appreciate the opportunity to speak with the president-elect himself.
That's unbelievable.
On Friday, we were given the opportunity to do just that. Joe and I went to Mar-a-Lago to meet personally with President-elect Trump. It was the first time we have seen him in 7 years.
Now, we talked about a lot of issues, including abortion, mass deportation, threats of political retribution against political opponents and media outlets. We talked about that a good bit. And it's going to come as no surprise to anybody who watches this show, has watched it over the past year or over the past decade, that we didn't see eye to eye on a lot of issues, and we told him so.
What we did agree on was to restart communications.
Oh,
my good. Father often spoke with world leaders with whom he and the United States profoundly disagreed. That's a task shared by reporters and commentators alike. We had not spoken to President Trump since March of 2020, other than a personal call Joe made to Trump on the morning after the attempt on his life in Butler, Pennsylvania. In this meeting, President Trump was tearful. He was upbeat. He seemed interested in finding common ground with Democrats on some of the most divisive issues. And for those asking
why we would go speak
to the president-elect during such fraught times, especially between us, I guess I would ask back, why wouldn't we? 5 years of political warfare has deeply divided Washington and the country. We have been as clear as we know how in expressing our deep concerns about President Trump's actions and words in the coarsening of public debate. But for nearly
we want to keep our jobs.
Americans, election denialism, public trials, and January 6th were not as important as the issues that moved them to send Donald Trump back to the White House.
Oh, are you saying you're an out-of-touch elitist?
Yep. Joe and I realize it's time to do something different. And that starts with not only talking about Donald Trump, but also talking with him.
Oh, man.
I mean, you know, where do you begin? I guess I'll start with the reopening the lines of communication. I'd like to know what those lines are. Is it a text relationship? Are you guys going to FaceTime once a week? I mean, you know, how do we, are you going to shoot an email? You know, maybe a DM on social media? That's what I would like to know. But they are just two uninteresting, unlikable hacks. And I, honest to God, and I don't say this because I disagree with them politically, I don't understand the desire to tune in and watch a husband and a wife do a show. I mean, you know, with all due respect,
that's what you take from this.
It's like they're having it's like they're sitting at the dinner table. Why don't they just fill out their balance their budget and their checkbook while they're at it?
Okay.
I don't get the format. I mean, I'd rather them be on prompter and reading scripted as opposed to ad-libbing. But it's just like, so, all, and by the way, kudos to, let's give Trump credit here. I've said this for about 2 weeks now. I would find it very difficult for me personally to sit down with somebody, shake somebody's hand like he did Joe Biden last week, or welcome those two thieves into my property.
But, and think about this.
But their rhetoric led to people shooting at my head.
But think about this. These two, and this is before they were married, when at least one of them was still married to their other spouse, because they didn't begin as a married couple in their show, let us not forget. But these two, reportedly on the dime and generosity of Trump, they were buddies to him.
They
sucked up to him.
They did. Donald!
Right?
Joe Scarborough here. Hi. How you doing? Hi, Donald. We have the voicemails.
Yeah. And they would go to Mar-a-Lago, and he would feed them and put them up in this beautiful exclusive place. They said they were friends of his. And then they give him the shiv, stab him in the back all of these years. And now they realize what's going on.
Yep.
All for political expedience.
Yep.
What this shows is, and, you know, to Nick's point, I mean, what this shows first and foremost is that President Trump realizes, like, they got to kiss his ring. That's what this is. They are kneeling down. They're on their little pathetic knees, and they're kissing his keister, and they're kissing his ring. But what Trump gets about this is he knows the game, and that's why he can stay in the game. He knows that when Biden was, you know, saying all this MAGA stuff, and it was ridiculous, it was all just part of the game. And what we, the people, need to realize is that it's all a game to them. They're not sincere.
Yeah, but that's fine. And I get I understand the way these politicians operate. I get the way the media operates. But I mean, we have to draw a line where you can't be calling a guy Hitler to the point, and it's twofold. It's bad enough that they resorted to that level of rhetoric, and then it leads to the crazies out there. The 1-5% on both sides of the political aisle that take all of this way too far and resort to violence. So, like, Trump's a better person than I am then. I can't believe I'm saying that, but I would I would ghost. If Mika or Joe called me, I would hit decline so fast their head would spin.
I would say this, that he's not doing that because he, and that's part of the reason. That's part of the reason he's the king of this, because of his background in the hotel industry. And what was he, look at his friendship with Dana White. He gets it, the pregame psychological warfare that everybody, yeah, you're not bigger and I'm going to knock you out and punch, blah, blah. That's all this was.
Mm-hmm.
It was all just silly pregame rhetoric. Trump got that, and that's why he's saying, yeah, kneel down, kiss my ring now.
Let me ask you guys a question. Doesn't it do them a disservice to their audience to even have this conversation?
Totally.
I mean, look, you're the opposition channel now. Like, embrace that. I don't understand this thing where they're going on their network that, granted, not many people watch MSNBC, but they still have okay numbers. I mean, they're beating CNN.
Yeah.
And their numbers are only going to increase over the next 4 years. Why even go down this road? Just be the opposition party.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up their numbers too, because there's been a lot of coverage on how their audience has disappeared by 25% to 50% post election. I was going to say, you know it better than I do, but this has got to be like the holiday post-mortem.
No,
like, they'll be back by January, right?
I think that this is, we talked about this before, and this is the financial news has been talking about the fact that Comcast, I think, was waiting for after the election.
Yep.
I think Comcast, this is not a winning investment. And they probably are sucking up because maybe, I don't know, do they think that they're going to get a job in the Trump administration or something? I have no idea.
So that's interesting. So you're which is
they're desperate.
Yeah, which is a true story that Comcast is apparently shopping MSNBC.
It. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, but there's a difference between ratings and revenue. So their ratings are down, and their ratings, even when they're good, are still not beating Fox.
They make money, though.
But I was going to say, with all the revenue with Big Pharma and these big these woke corporations, why would they spin it off and sell it if they're making good money on the product?
Because it's too much. I think it would actually help MSNBC to get rid of the NBC moniker, to be honest with you.
Right now, they're not going to get rid of the NBC NBC News. It's just the fringy cable stuff. They want to have they're divorcing them. They're dumping them.
So they're separating NBC News from MSNBC.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. As well, they should. I mean, it's just...
But it's oxygen.
It's
kind of the same thing, aren't they?
Stuff. And I think in part of it, they don't want to deal with the drama of it, the lawsuits. They don't want to deal with it. It's just because they have to deal with all of the drama. They have to deal with all the fallout. And I think they just don't want to deal with it.
Why don't you just?
I really just think it's just.
Why don't you just be a centrist?
It.
Why don't you just be a centrist news channel? Right? Call it down the middle. Call balls and strikes. Rip the left, rip the right. Praise the right, praise the left. When somebody gets something right, get it right. You talk about it. When somebody's full of crap, call them out. It seems to me, with this past election, granted it went in favor of Trump, but America is looking for just common sense, solutions.
Absolutely.
You would think there's a demand for that in news television, no?
I think that the straight network shows, they still have a cash cow in that. But I think that for any of the cable, I think even CNBC is in trouble. But MSNBC for sure, and the Oprah Oxygen Network, they're looking to dump them. No question in my mind.
The counting is going on right now, right, Dawn? The counting,
the recounting. Yes.
Okay. For Bob Casey and Dave McCormick. John Fetterman was on with Jake Tapper over the weekend. I'm starting with cut 8 here, Phil, where he discussed the counting of the Senate ballots, the recounting of the Senate ballots. Play cut 8, Phil.
Your colleague, Senator Bob Casey, who was up for re-election, there's a Commonwealth-mandated recount going on right now because it was so close. He's trailing by 18,000 votes behind Dave McCormick. Democratic officials in at least one key county, Bucks County, voted to count about 115 provisional ballots that are missing a signature, despite the Pennsylvania Supreme Court previously ruling that those are invalid. I want you to take a listen to how one Democratic Bucks County commissioner justified her actions.
I think we all know that precedent by a court doesn't matter anymore in this country. And people violate laws anytime they want. So for me, if I violate this law, it's because I want a court to pay attention to it.
So the Washington Post editorial board called that, quote, corrosive to democracy, unquote, and said, quote, county officials do not get to decide whether a legal requirement is material and must be followed. Courts do, and they have spoken clearly, unquote. What's your take? What's your response to that Democratic official deliberately announcing that they're going to defy court orders and count these provisional ballots?
Well, again, I'm not going to chase every kinds of quotes, things like that, because I think you just pointed out that it refers to about 115 ballots, and that's not going to have an impact on this race at this point. So what's where we are now? It's very, very close. And I guarantee you, if Dave McCormick were in the opposite situation where he was down 15,000 to 17,000 votes, he would absolutely want to have every last vote counted as well, too. And Bob Casey has never claimed fraud. And I think it's really interesting now, all of the Republicans and the conservative people on Twitter aren't talking about, oh, they're cheating, they're having all kinds of a thing after Trump won. No one's claiming that there's any kinds of actual cheating on our side. You know, calling and counting every vote, and that's where we're at, and that's the law. And when it's finished, and if Bob Casey comes up short, I can almost guarantee you that he's going to do the right thing and concede at that. So that's the thing. But my point, no one's making an argument that there's any kinds of a cheating or thing on our side. It's like, hey, we're going to count every last vote.
So a lot to unpack there. I'll start with this. We're going to get into Fetterman a little bit deeper at 9 o'clock if we have time this morning, because Fetterman says that the Democrats need to stop freaking out over everything Trump does. Politico's got a story out whether or not the Democrat Party should be listening to Fetterman. I can't believe it, but it's like Fetterman, if he ever has a moment behind closed doors, he's got to be exhausted. I mean, that guy is doing cleanup for his party constantly. He's always on these different media outlets. I'm glad that they brought up that Washington Post column from Saturday, because that was what I referenced earlier in the show. Although I think Fetterman misunderstood Tapper there. I think Tapper said they're looking at 115,000 ballots. Fetterman said 15,000 to 17,000. So somebody's off by 100,000 votes here or ballots. So I'm not sure what
Tapper referring to the total. If you looked at all the provisionals and everything, and I think Fetterman was looking at the number that he needed to get, mm-hmm. and that's just it. That if you, by all accounts, Democrats and Republicans, they're saying there's no way, if you look at the votes and the way this is going, that Casey Jr. is going to make up that amount of votes to then beat Dave McCormick. But the issue at hand, I feel, is that my understanding of this, by all accounts, is that the reason that these Democrat commissioners in various collar counties, and including here in Philadelphia, the very reason that they began to knowingly count illegal ballots was to beef up those numbers, because remember, I kept reporting all week that this is the number, because I was watching that margin very carefully, as everybody was watching it, to see at what point would that recount legally get triggered. So they needed some votes. They needed to find something to trigger that. So this is the appearance of it, is that they went in there and they said, we're going to count these votes that we know are illegal. At the end of the day, will be thrown out by the Supreme Court in Pennsylvania. And there are hearings, as I've reported earlier this morning, hearings at 1 o'clock today. There's another hearing tomorrow. Hearings all over, as far as the state level, as far as Philadelphia and the surrounding counties. So there's a lot of legal action by the RNC lawyers. But my understanding is they purposely counted illegal ballots so that they knew that that would punch up the number, beef up the number, to then trigger a recount.
Right. That's correct.
And so is that a dirty trick?
Yes.
Is that an attempt to, quote unquote, do something illegal? I would argue that if a Supreme Court has said such action is illegal,
right,
and you decide to do it anyway, you've done something illegal.
That's right.
Right?
There's multiple layers of illegalities going on here. It's like you do this illegally to trigger this, and then you're trying to do this, which is illegal, and then you're ignoring law and precedent on top of it.
Yep.
I don't know what the end game is here, because we're going to get to Thanksgiving or the 1st of December, and then what? We realize, yet McCormick still won?
No. The deadline is... I knew this recount that's
Wednesday.
Underway. Well, no, it must, every county in Pennsylvania must have begun their recount by this Wednesday
but it
at
could
noon.
Take up until the 28th, you said, right?
No, it has to be done. The counting must be done by noon on the 26th. They must announce by noon of the 27th. We're looking at next week.
I think one of the issues, too, is that that Bucks County official there, Margulies or whatever her name is,
yes,
basically said that she knows it's illegal, but they're going to do it anyway.
I know.
I mean, like,
I'm going to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to break the law if I want to.
That is next Wednesday, by the way, so it'll be the day before Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Fetterperson also said that...
Fetterperson.
Yeah, that's a Zeolism, also said that Musk helped move the needle for Trump in Pennsylvania. This is cut 20, Philgo.
Or, you know, random kinds of appointments.
Just before the election, you predicted on this show that the results would be close, but that Kamala Harris and the Democrats would ultimately carry Pennsylvania. That obviously did not happen. You won in Pennsylvania by appealing to not only people in the urban centers like Philly or Pittsburgh, but appealing to blue collar workers in red counties who voted for Trump this time around. Is the Democratic Party still the party of the working class?
Well, of course, but I described the situation, and now I've already claimed that it's going to be incredibly close, and I've also claimed that Trump is the strongest that he's been in the three cycles there. And now things that were really unique that happened. The assassination attempt, that was in Butler. That's 45 minutes from where we're sitting right now. And then Musk. Musk is not just a typical kind of a surrogate. We're all in that business. We have surrogates. We have endorsements. And many of them often don't really matter much. But now Musk made himself really active. And he was described as moving to Pennsylvania. And I do believe that helped move the needle in that, too. So Trump came in the strongest position, and he carried Pennsylvania and carried all of the swing states. So that's what's reflected, that he came in a strong position. That there's going to be a lot of hot takes. There were a lot of hot takes before this election, but it's undeniable here we are now because of a lot of the decisions that were made before the election.
So I'm going to give you a hot take, Mr. Fetterman, and maybe Mr. Fetterman will like hearing this, but we've talked about party realignment, how Republicans are now the working class, common folk, middle America. The Democrats are the fringe, progressive, Harvard, Ivy League, coastal elitists. Let me just say this right now. I'm going to go on record. I believe, and I'm not calling this that it will happen, but there will be strong consideration and many conversations. I do not believe Gavin Newsom will be the future of the Democrat Party. Coastal elitist has failed in California. Josh Shapiro, even though some say more of a moderate from a policy standpoint, Josh Shapiro still gives off kind of, in my opinion, swarmy elitist vibes. Not like Gavin Newsom feels like a used car salesman skunk. Yeah, but Shapiro to a lesser degree. There will be strong talk about making Fetterman the face of the Democrat Party because they believe John Fetterman with the look, the Braddock PA thing.
God.
I'm telling you, I really believe they will consider it and they will pontificate behind closed doors. They'll have to ask themselves this question and they'll have to answer it. Does John Fetterman give the Democrat Party the best chance to win in 2028? And there might be an argument for that.
There's a lot of talk over the weekend, a lot of articles being written about RFK Jr. and his crusade, as the New York Times put it on Saturday, his crusade against big food, quote, could alienate Republican allies is what the headline was in the New York Times over the weekend. I just want to, because there's a lot of discussions about this, and I want to get into what Bill Maher said. Also, the ingredient labels, you know, like what, you know, there's big discussions about Fruit Loops, right? And the Fruit Loops ingredients in Canada as opposed to what's happening in the United States.
Yeah.
So the New York Times on Saturday has this huge article about RFK Jr. I just want to point something out to you that I think is hysterical. It says, Mr. Kennedy has singled out Fruit Loops as an example of a product with too many artificial ingredients, questioning why the Canadian version has fewer than the U.S. version. But he was wrong. Okay, that's what it says in the New York Times. He was wrong. The ingredients lists are roughly the same, although Canada has natural colorings made from blueberries and carrots, while the U.S. product contains red dye 40, yellow number 5, and blue 1.
Which means they're different.
As well as butylated hydroxychloroquine, BHT, a lab-made chemical that is used for freshness, according to the ingredient label. So they went out of their way to make a correction and say, well, the ingredient lists are such the same, except there's formaldehyde and all of this in the U.S.
Yep.
It is unbelievable.
Yep. That's all they do. The bottom line is you can slice it and dice it any way, which way you want it. These other nations are living healthier because they have less crap in their food. I don't care I think Kennedy said something last week. It's like Fruit Loops has 19 ingredients in Canada and Fruit Loops has 3. I don't care if it's 3 to 19 or 10 to 11. But Dawn just said, it's got a bunch of crap in it. That's all that matters.
This is cut 14, Phil, if you can grab this. Europe has the same food products as the U.S. We know that. But the ingredients are dramatically different. Dramatically different. And here's them talking about this. This is cut 14.
This is McDonald's French fries. I would like to argue that probably nobody in this room has not had a McDonald's French fries, by the way. Nobody raised their hand during the staff meeting earlier today. In the U.S., there's 11 ingredients. In the U.K., there's 3, and salt is optional. An ingredient called dimethylpolysiloxane is an ingredient preserved with formaldehyde, a neurotoxin, in the U.S. version.
Oh my God.
This is used as a foaming agent so they don't have to replace the oil that often, making McDonald's more money here in the United States. But they don't do that across the pond. Here we go. This is Skittles. Notice the long list of ingredient differences.
Look at that.
10 artificial dyes in the U.S. version and titanium dioxide. This ingredient is banned in Europe because it can cause DNA damage. Artificial dyes are made from petroleum, and products containing these dyes require a warning label in Europe that states it may cause adverse effects on activity in detention in children. And they have been linked to cancer and disruptions in the immune system. This on the screen back here is Gatorade. In the U.S., they use Red 40 and caramel color. In Germany, they don't. They use carrot and sweet potatoes to color their Gatorade. This is Doritos. The U.S. version has three different artificial dyes and MSG. The U.K. version does not. And let's look at cereal.
Oh my
General
God.
Mills is definitely playing some tricks on us. They launched a new version of tricks just recently in Australia. It has no dyes. They even advertised that when the U.S. version still does. This is why I became a food activist. My name is Vani Hari, and I only want one thing.
How about that?
I want Americans.
Vani Hari.
Sounds like me after my husband goes to like a wholesale club and brings all that crud home, and I'm like reading from it. So
yep.
She just,
I guess,
said
Bobby,
everything I felt.
I guess Bobby Kennedy's not as crazy as everybody says.
I'm telling you guys that I'm glad we're having this discussion, and I'm glad we're bringing this to the forefront. And it's something that absolutely needs to be discussed because they actually tried to do this like 20 years ago, 15 years ago. And the food lobby pushed back because Fruit Loops, I'm just using them as an example, but Fruit Loops weren't as bright a color.
Mm-hmm.
So our kids didn't like them as much
right.
because they weren't as bright of a color.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've tried this before to no avail.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that it is, I'm glad that this conversation is, and like that article I just read in the New York Times, they're doing their damn best to discredit everything that is, and it's just like, well, the ingredients, it's roughly the same, except
mm-hmm.
they're really, really different.
How about McDonald's? They're using that ingredient that will kill you so that they can get more bang for their buck out of their frying oil.
Yeah.
That is remarkable.
Bill Maher, over the weekend, talked to Casey Means and MD, who's a big proponent of RFK Jr. and this whole food, you know, make America healthy again thing. Says he that he's willing to give RFK Jr. a chance. This is cut. Yeah, I think I have this right. Yeah, this is cut 7. Phil, go.
RFK, you and I do have something in common, which is that for a long time we've all been saying, well, the system as it is, the way we do health, is already very. So maybe he'll make it worse, but like my head is not exploding about it.
That's good.
And so I saw you do this where I got familiar with you, this video you did where you said you graduated Stanford Medical.
Yes.
And the video was called like something like I learned nothing there about what was important. Tell us what you didn't learn there that you think you should be taught at least in medical school.
Right. It's astonishing. It's not an overstatement to say that in my 4 years of Stanford undergrad, 4 years of Stanford Medical School, and 4.5 years of surgical training, I did not learn a single thing about what is really making Americans sick, the true root causes of the chronic disease epidemic that's devastating and torturing American lives, the things like the impact of ultra-processed food on our health, the incredible 80,000 synthetic toxins that are our food, water, air, our personal care products, the fact that there's been, you know, 6 billion tons of plastic produced since 1907 that have entered our food, our water, even our air, the fact that 6 billion pounds of synthetic pesticides are sprayed on our global food supply every year. You know, the average child in America is spending less time outdoors than a maximum security prisoner, and yet sunlight actually dictates a huge portion of our biology. So these modifiable aspects of holistic living that directly impact our cellular health are just not being talked about. We're really focused on silos in the American healthcare system. We have over 100 medical and surgical subspecialties. And what happens is we miss the forest for the trees of the root causes of what's making Americans sick. And I think what happened on Election Day this year is that Americans came out and said, we want to bend the curve of the chronic disease epidemic that is destroying American potential. And I think RFK represents someone who's willing to take that on.
Perfectly well said. And sunlight is the ultimate disinfectant. It's why in the spring and the summer, I play golf constantly because I want to be outside. I hate sitting inside and getting ready to blow my brains out because I'm bored. By the way, 4:48 yesterday, it's dark. I was ready to off myself. It's just depressing. And I mentioned in the big take this morning, the Babylon Bee, fattest, sickest country on earth,
yep.
concerned that new health secretary might do something different. So that's what I would say to all of these people out there that are anti-RFK Jr. I don't care if you don't agree with him on vaccine. He's not right about everything. But on food, he's absolutely accurate. And if you're a miserable, overweight schlub, you should probably listen to him because what you're consuming is leading to cardiovascular disease, is leading to diabetes, is resulting in cancer.
Yep.
And yet you want to just, you know, well, I can't trust him. He ate pork and ended up with a tapeworm. Shut up.
Yeah, and to all of those people who are, you know, the same ones in the 2010s who are like, keep your hands off my fries, and everything like that. Like, that's all good and well, and I'm one of the first ones to say it's all personal responsibility. If you don't like it, don't eat it, which I still believe. But when it's literally in every single piece of your food, something needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like there's only, you can only eat clean so much. I mean, even, you know, you sit there, Nick, and you eat those blueberries out of the thing. I love blueberries too. Do you know what they're sprayed with? That's what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? Even that, Dawn.
I can't afford organic right now.
So it's
go to Aldi.
To sit here and say, and all the, you know,
just
all the
wash them off.
It's my freedom. It's my this. It's my that.
Just
yeah,
wash them off.
Yeah. But we also need to know what is in these these things, well, what they're sprayed with, or right. any of that stuff. We do.
And by the way, just to go back to the McDonald's thing for a moment, because I'm caught up in McDonald's for a moment. He said in one of those clips was salt is optional on the fries over in Europe. Yeah. They don't salt them like they like Trump. Like when Trump was in Bucks County, he unleashed the entire salt shaker on them. By the way, you have to have salt on fries. Does anybody out there in this audience actually eat French fries without salt?
Oh no, get the DeSantis clip. I don't put salt on it. I put mustard on it.
Wait a minute. That way now. Hold on.
Mustard.
Yeah.
Mustard.
You put mustard on your French fries.
100%. That's my seasoning for French fries. Or like a little bit of vinegar.
Oh, I love vinegar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like at the boardwalk.
No salt.
No ketchup though.
No, ketchup's gross.
Okay. No ranch.
First of all, you should stop eating ketchup when you're 7.
I agree. Ketchup's a kid condiment.
Exactly.
I tell my wife that every day.
No. I put mustard on my French fries or vinegar.
My wife has mixed ketchup and mayonnaise together with her fries.
Ketchup and mayonnaise. I could do mustard and mayonnaise, but not ketchup.
Mustard on your fries.
Yeah.
What else? You got any other odd habits while we're at it?
What's wrong with that?
Mustard.
Yeah. I mean, I've never tried it. I'll try anything.
Yep.
I'll give it a whirl today.
At least once.
That's right.
Alec Baldwin debuted his RFK Jr. impression.
Oh, boy.
On SNL. Yeah,
oh, is this geez. Where his fly, he didn't zip up his fly?
No, he came out at the end of, he came out at the end for, you know, the closing credits when they say goodnight to everybody and his fly was down.
Ew.
Goodnight, everybody.
but he comes out and does his RFK Jr. This is along with the Trump impersonator and Dana Carvey as Joe Biden. The cold open was them meeting in the Oval Office in front of the fireplace. All right, you can roll a little bit of it until we get flagged.
I don't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to tell you again, I'm so honored to be the head of the Health and Human Services.
He's just not good.
No, he's not. I mean, he kind of looks the part there, but oh my God, is that awful. Dude, you do a better Kennedy.
Thank you.
Can you do it?
No, or? I'm going to play the best Kennedy impersonation out there first, but what...
No, is he... I mean, I thought that they're not supposed to make fun of anybody who has any kind of a difference or voice disability or
spasmodic
whatever.
Spasmodic dysphonia.
Right? Yep. So is he making fun of somebody?
I don't subscribe to that. I make fun of everybody.
Well, I know,
care.
Greg, but I'm talking about him.
Oh, okay.
He's all woke, right?
Yeah,
he's all,
Play a little bit more.
Someone to teach them how to be healthy, someone like me, a 70-year-old man with movie star looks and a worm in his brain.
Bobby, I love you. I can't wait to see what you do with this country in terms of health and with regard to...
The Trump impersonation isn't there either. So
no, the only guy that's any good in there is Carvey doing Biden.
Speaking of Carvey, this was the Fly on the Wall podcast, which, by the way, is an Odyssey podcast. You can get
it.
You can get it wherever you get your podcast, but get it from Odyssey, from the Odyssey app. It's Dana Carvey and David Spade talking the politics, interviewing people, talking all kinds of stuff, actually, not just politics. But they were talking about RFK Jr., and Dana Carvey broke out his impression, and I think it's the best I've heard. All right, roll it, Phil.
They're closing my favorite Wendy's. I don't know if they're closing it, but they put the green fence. And you don't want a green fence around. That means 2 years of trucks, beep, beep, bulldozers, cement trucks, blocking, stop, alto, go around. Ooh, ooh.
Well, if Bobby Kennedy has his way, there's going to be a lot of stuff about fast food.
What if he's the guy there with a hard hat going, we're starting right here.
Well, I'll have a double Wendy's with cheese and a milkshake.
No,
and he's there.
No, it's me now. You're not kidding.
I'd like a single cheese and a booster shot.
I don't think you should be having this food. I think, quite frankly, it's poison. So I'm hereby shutting down Wendy's and get the fuck out of here, David Spade.
We should have him come on and teach us about nutrition.
You can get a sweet potato for like $1.50.
Sweet potatoes.
Scarface.
What are you going to do, man? You like it?
You don't give me no fucking sweet potatoes.
That's good. That's good.
He's so good. That is a great Bobby Kennedy impersonation, yeah. Which, by the way, it's probably ill-advised to try to imitate him because you could end up having major voice issues yeah. once you go into that mode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's keep going down the realm of comedy, the highway of comedy. Jim Brewer released his new special over the weekend.
We got to get him back on the show.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. They only seem to want to come on when he's promoting, you know, club dates around this area, and I guess he hasn't been around this area in a while.
No.
So he went off on the election propaganda. Cut four, Phil.
The other side's got Eminem. 50 and I wear a hoodie. Sit down, stupid. You were fun for 10 minutes. You're on Diddy's list. You know that, right? Hinchcliffe said it. He was absolutely right. They scared the snot. Snot! The anti-Trumpers were like, oh my God, if he gets in, I freaking... Goodbye to my body, Emmy! It's like, they're Nazis! Think about how hard that'd be. I get fucked! Videos of the rallies going, everybody Utsleine! We need everybody's name who ends with Stein and Berg to come to the flood. And women, your life is over. Back in the house, release the dogs. We told you they were Nazis! You people lost your minds over that.
Man,
he didn't hold back, did he?
No, he didn't.
Tell us what you really think, Jimbo.
Over the weekend, we talked about it a little bit in the 6 o'clock hour to open the show this morning. UFC 309 live from Madison Square Garden. Johnny Bones Jones had a third round TKO against Stipe Miocic.
Yeah, good luck with that one.
He announced his retirement at the end of that, by the way. It was because, I mean, going up against John Jones is just... He's the greatest UFC fighter in history.
Is John Jones still in his prime?
He's been out for about 18 months.
Yeah.
Because he had surgery and everything like that. But he's won the most championship fights. So.
Yeah.
Actually, let's start with cut 11. This was Trump, Elon Musk, RFK Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, and Dana White entering the arena, Madison Square Garden, on Saturday night. Cut 11, Phil, go.
And ladies and gentlemen, look who is now making his way to the world famous.
Look at Megan Mike.
Flagged by UFC CEO Dana White.
Yeah, I mean, Mike.
Who doesn't belong in that pile?
I was just going to say that. We're going to a UFC fight.
Place the people at your home could hear the sound in this room.
It's so loud in here.
It is so loud.
At least, so good. At least we know that Trump enjoys this stuff. Tulsi Gabbard was there. RFK Jr., just, you know, he doesn't care about UFC stuff.
I don't know about that. He's a fitness guy, right? Bobby's all jacked up. Yeah, he likes lifting weights.
I don't know.
I could see Bobby Kennedy being into combat sports.
He was as out of place as that weasel Mike Johnson.
Oh, well, yeah. Mike Johnson's out of place every time. He looked out of place on Trump Force One with the McDonald's. By the way, that's the back page of the front page of the New York Post. Yes. Bobby Kennedy in front of a thing of McDonald's.
Isn't that amazing?
And a Diet Coke.
Do we have that photo?
We do. Well, no, I don't think we do.
But we don't have that photo?
Oh, yeah. We could find it.
Yeah, we do. It's up there.
Oh, is it up there right now? There it is.
Yeah.
So, Phil, who do you think's more uncomfortable right there, MAGA Mike or Bobby?
They gave him that just to stick him. You know what I mean?
You know Bobby's not going to eat that.
No,
that's a total photo op.
He's not going to eat that.
He has a Coke next to him.
Yeah.
Not going to drink that.
Trump's probably like, I'll take that. Just give me whatever you don't want. Yeah.
It's like ordering for your kids something you know they're not going to eat just so you can eat more.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to go to
the I don't know, guys. He has the burger out, it looks like.
Okay. He's being a good sport.
Yeah.
Yeah. Elon's got a bunch of dipping sauces. So I'm going to have to inquire about that.
Why is RFK Jr. so tan? Like,
he uses the same spray bottle as Trump?
Or tanning bed.
God. By the way, what do you think? MAGA Mike and Bobby went down towards the other end of the plane and had some, like, tofu and sushi? Put, like, their napkin inside their shirt?
Cut 13, Phil. So when he gets into the arena and they go over to their seats, he hugs Joe Rogan.
Oh, he didn't just hug him. He had sex with Joe Rogan. This was awkward.
Who was doing a commentary, Phil, if you want to roll that. If you want to roll that.
Congratulations, sir.
Come a little closer, Joe. I'm going to kiss you.
Whispering in his ear.
Yeah.
I'm sure he thanked him for, for the endorsement.
Yeah.
So, and another. There you go.
The ultimate glory of all of this is the fact that UFC airs on ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
And ESPN is a very left-wing Disney anti-Trump company. So to see all of that and then obviously the John Bones stuff.
Well, let me just say this because I know you're not a UFC guy. You have to have ESPN Plus to order it on pay-per-view.
Oh.
So you pay a monthly subscription. It's the biggest scam out there. Mm-hmm. And I fall right into it because I do love UFC. Mm-hmm. I watch it Saturday night. Yeah. Actually, I watch it Sunday morning.
But I fell asleep during Saturday night's game, I will say.
Really? Yeah.
I did.
But they make you pay. I don't know what ESPN Plus is. It's like $7 a month.
Yeah,
but you need that subscription to order the fight for like $70 or whatever it is.
So you get it's like a double tax.
100%. It's 100% a because scam. I fall right.
We have it because we have Disney Plus.
Yep.
So Disney Plus, when you sign up for it, you get ESPN Plus with it. So that's as big of a scam as these PSLs at stadiums, where in order to get season tickets, you got to buy the personal seat license first.
100%. Yes.
It's outrageous.
That's exactly what they do. But I do it. I do it. I can't. I'm a giant hypocrite.
And what was the fight cost? It was $70 plus tax?
$65 maybe.
Okay.
I should know.
Yeah, I should know too, Dawn. You and I just like we should know this. We bought him, but I really honestly don't know.
It makes the Tyson fight worth it then because I was surprised that you didn't have to pay extra on top of your Netflix subscription for that.
It's true. But
nor should you have to.
They're smart. Netflix is smart doing this, by the way. UFC should get into this. Mm-hmm. Should get into this game. If they were smart, they would.
Netflix better get their act together because the NFL and WWE are coming. And if they can't hold 60 million people without a good
you're 100% right.
Signal, they're in trouble.
You're 100% right.
Be a lot of angry Americans.
John Jones with the third round TKO after he won the fight. He gives Trump. Actually, let's start with him giving Trump the belt. Did you guys see this? This has got 12.
Yes.
This has got 12. Classic. Go.
It is all about John Jones.
He walks over and gives him the belt.
Wow.
Trump loves it.
He 100% he loves it.
I never knew Hitler liked Ultimate Fighting.
Largely historically have realized the most success in the UFC. And the greatest American fighter of all time is that man, John Bones Jones, now successful in the first defense of his heavyweight title. Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of UFC. Easy to celebrate, easy to enjoy. And celebrating they are indeed in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
And by the way, for anybody who thinks that like Trump's a Johnny come lately at this, if you followed him in the 80s and 90s, he was at every Tyson fight. Mm-hmm. He was at every WrestleMania. He's way into this stuff.
Absolutely.
Way into this stuff. John Jones gave him a shout out when he won with the interview with Joe Rogan at the end of the fight. Cut 5. Do you have it there? Cut 5. Go.
Sure. I also want to say a big, big thank you to President Donald Trump for being here tonight.
This is where he does the. This is where he does the dance, too.
Hey, what do you got to think about my version of the Donald Trump? Check it out. USA! USA! Let's go! That's what I like. I'm proud. I'm proud to be a great American champion. I'm proud to be a Christian American champion.
You know, I said that you're talking about the popularity of Trump and, you know, winning the popular vote. Even though I didn't make an official prediction on who would win the election, I did say that Trump was going to exceed his total vote of 74 million from 2020. And I think Dawn might have mentioned it earlier. What is it, 77, 78 million now and counting and growing?
Nearly 77 million.
Yeah.
So.
Well, on Friday night, the Mike Tyson Jake Paul fight happened. It went 8 rounds, and Jake Paul won. I mean, after like the second round, it wasn't even really close. Mike Tyson, on why he did this, well, we know it's for the payday, but this is what he said afterwards. Cut 15. Yeah, I've got 15 there, Phil. Go.
You know, 58, a lot of people thought you shouldn't be here. A lot of people thought you'd be done and dusted in the first round. Do you feel like you proved the world wrong, that you could at least go 8 rounds with a younger man?
I didn't prove nothing to anybody, only to myself. But I'm not one of those guys that look to please the world. I'm just happy with what I can do.
And I was wearing assless chaps in the locker room, and I was walking around half naked. I'm a killer. And I'm from the Catskills.
I don't know if you guys saw this, but he kept biting his glove during the fight.
Yeah, what is that about?
He had a biting fetish.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. This is cut 16, Phil.
See, I watched all of
it. I know you did.
What you were doing with your glove, was it a mouthpiece issue, or were you just biting on your glove? What was that? Could you tell us?
Oh, I have a habit of biting my gloves when I fight, yes.
Why do you do that?
I have a biting fixation.
Mm. I've heard about that.
Holyfield knows.
I don't want to know more. Stay right here, Mike, if you can. Jake.
Then Jake Paul at the end gave props to the GOAT, Mike Tyson. Cut 17.
First and foremost, Mike Tyson. It's such an honor. Let's give it up for Mike, bro. He's a legend. He's the greatest to ever do it. He's the GOAT. I look up to him. I'm inspired by him. And we wouldn't be here today without him. This man is an icon. And it's just an honor to be able to fight him. And he's obviously the toughest, baddest man on the planet. So it was really tough, like I expected it to be.
Yeah, it's fascinating how people get some celebrity status, notoriety, and success in this country when it seems like nobody likes them at all.
Yep.
Like the Pauls are the perfect illustration of that. Mm-hmm. Both Jake Paul and Logan Paul. Massively successful, kind of social media meets sports meets influencer. Yet everywhere they go, they're booed relentlessly.
It's true.
It's weird.
It's true. The fight itself. Look, I can say this. I got every Tyson pay per view from the mid '90s to the early 2000s. I was a Tyson aficionado for much of my late teens and early 20s years. A 58-year-old, of course, is not going to be able to keep up with somebody like Jake Paul, who's half his age. So technically, it wasn't the best fight in the world. Just play a little bit of it there, Phil.
Just ask Kevin McBride. Just ask Francois Botha, Evander Holyfield. You get the gist.
Yep. I mean, Tyson kept his he held his own.
Mm-hmm. It was expected he was, that he would use
he was more on defense than he was on offense. You know what I mean? Like, it looks like he was just trying to outlast Paul.
And everybody was saying, nice shot by Jake Paul.
Right hand by Paul. That is his most effective punch. Again, he has knocked down or knocked out every opponent he has faced.
There you go.
I just found it because I bet the fight, and I bet on
what?
I bet on Jake Paul.
Of course.
Yeah, he was a 2-1 favorite. And all these people are like, oh, yeah, Tyson, if he lands, I'm like, he hasn't landed a knockout shot in 25 years.
I know.
Right? Like, it's he was cooked in 02.
It's the first, they said it, when he won the first round, it was the first round he had won in like 25
years. Yes. Yes. In 2002, I was graduating high school, and me and my buddies, we bought the fight, Tyson against Lennox Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
And that was real. I mean, he was done before that fight, but that was truly the signifying moment that it was over for him. And all these people were like, oh, I'm betting on Tyson. I'm betting on Tyson. And I'm like,
talk about the pay-per-views. I mean, if you guys remember, I used to have to beg my mom. And then you could actually go to some bars. Mm-hmm. Some bars used to,
they had a hot box.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember the hot box?
But they were, I mean, that was the original, $39.99 or whatever it was for the Tyson fights. I remember the Tyson, I think it was Spinks. It was like $70 or something like that. And it lasted 90 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're a 90s kid, you lived off the hot box.
Yeah.
I think boxing, wrestling, and late night naughty shows.
I got it.
The hot box was it, man.
By the way, I got to say this. I think that the majority of, you know, the Netflix thing on Friday night was guys our age that just wanted to relive our youth and be like, oh, it's a Tyson fight, just like back in the day. Yeah. But it was, you know, it's something cool to have that 60 million people kind of all watch at the same time. We have so few of those things anymore that it's nice to have it.
We're a nostalgic society.
100%.
We love the glory days. Whatever your glory days was, right?
Yep.
Like 90s, 80s, 70s, 60s, whatever. Yep. Whatever resonates with you from like your childhood, right?
Mm-hmm.
And oh, by the way, too, you know, here's the other thing. My other beef with this, especially for a fight that is an exhibition with one guy approaching 60. Can we start the actual Tyson fight by like 9:30? Do we need them walking out at midnight?
Tyson needs a little nap.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that. What time did? Because in full disclosure, I watched it Saturday morning.
So yeah, like, me too. Because I did. Okay. It was because we had such a busy day, right?
Yeah.
And it didn't go on till like, I mean, it was like till midnight or something.
It was
right?
after 12 o'clock when they got
crazy.
In the ring. Yeah.
Well, you said you didn't have buffering issues. But
I was smooth as can be. Everybody's crying on X about it. And I'm like, mine's good. Like,
yeah.
I'm good here. And then all of a sudden, I pull up my phone. I'm starting to get tired. And I see the Netflix official Twitter feed tweeting out the results of the fight. And I'm like, they haven't come on my screen, but my TV's not buffering.
It's amazing.
I thought I was in, like, the Twilight Zone.
Yeah. Yeah, they could. Yeah.
To your point about who was watching, I would love to see, you know, who was watching. Because I just think... Think about all of us talking about it. I mean, I was watching. My whole family was watching.
I think
do
mostly.
You know what I mean?
I would guess mostly like, Gen X and younger.
I don't know. I mean, because I would just be curious across the board because Trump announced, we knew earlier in the day Saturday he was going to show.
Yeah.
I wonder, did that influence people to watch the thing?
I don't think boomers watched it because they're asleep at that point.
Well, I disagree. I think that it was.
You think people in their 60s and 70s stayed up to see that?
Maybe not, but I think my generation to, you know, your generation, I think we like.
Yes.
And by the way, having Jake Paul in it made it more acceptable for the younger generation.
Well, yeah,
too,
that's what I'm thinking. Gen X, millennial, and Gen Zers.
It was actually a brilliant strategy because you take, you know, 1975 to, you know, 2000 and whatever, and you have all of those, you know, years in there of people who wanted to relive their glory days, their youth, and the new, you know, the new kids.
I mean, they're saying that 65 million people watched.
Yeah,
65 million?
Yep.
So I think I would love to see the breakdown on that as far as, you know, the age, I mean, like teenage guys and college guys were all watching it.
They need to, and Nick said this earlier, and you're 100% right, they need to perfect this if they're going to do the WWE stuff in 2025, if they're going to start doing this for NFL games. I think UFC needs to take a page out of their book and do, you know, now that the WWE has made a deal with Netflix, you know, that's the same parent company, TKO. I think UFC should get in that,
which is
ring
really
as well.
Remarkable as hot of a product as UFC is. The best they can do is ESPN Plus streaming.
Yeah,
seems low budget, doesn't it?
It does.
But you think about this: how many live events? So way back in the day, like my dad will talk about this. Television shows or television news, that was considered a live event that you would watch. Nobody does that anymore. This is one of the few global events. This was global, but certainly nationally, where you have a live event that people have to tune in.
Yep. By the way, if you bought UFC or Netflix stocks back in the day,
I know,
and held on to them,
you feel like a genius.
You're wealthy right now.
You do. All right, we should bring it here.
Come back. We'll get a big three from Dawn at some point. Our morning mystery movie clip. All the goodies coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, as well as we've got to get to the Whoopi Goldberg story that is out there, and also John Fetterman in the news with some advice for his own party. It's Kale and Company live here on a Monday morning on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Cap off NFL the NFL week with a chance to win on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. It's America's number one sports book. New customers get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Tonight's Monday night game, the Houston Texans and the Dallas at Cowboys. You can build a same game parlay. I gave you one earlier. Joe Mixon to score an anytime touchdown. I'm taking the under for the combined total of 41.5. And C.J. Stroud for the over for passing yards for the first half, or first quarter, I believe, at 41 yards. Just go to FanDuel.com/Greg to make every moment more of the season. FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL and 1210 WPHT. 21 and over, President PA. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Let's wrap up the hour with your phone calls. We've got our buddy Tom in Percy, and Tom is with us now on Talk Radio 1210. Hello, Tom.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show as always on this Monday. Greg Stocker, sucks.com.
Thank you, Tom.
Just want to let you know these recounting of the ballots are awesome, but they'd probably be more awesome if they counted them all. I still have a provisional ballot that has not been counted. It's unbelievable.
So now let me ask you, how are you tracking the status of your ballot?
Okay, so you know how you guys say you have the receipts? Well, I have the receipt too, and it has a number. So when I went to my polling booth, turned in my mail-in ballot, and I voted in person, I then filled out my ballot, folded it up, put it in a green envelope, then put it into one of these super secret envelopes with a receipt with the number on it. And it has a web address. It's called hava.pa.us. And you go in there and you plug in the number, and it says that my ballot has not been received.
Wow.
Then there's also a spot on there where you can put your name and address, your name and date of birth. I plugged that in, and it said the same thing.
So it says not processed, or does it say, like, still pending, or, like, what's the specific verbiage that it gives you?
It says not processed, and it says check in 3 to 7 working days. Okay, so here's what it says. A certified provisional ballot was not found. Please wait 3 to 7 days after the election and search again. If you have questions, please contact your county election office. Good luck with that. For a list of county contacts, and it gives it there. But, it's unbelievable. You know, I almost feel like my rights are being violated. I need to sue for millions of dollars.
Tom, you know what you really should do, in all honesty, is contact Linda Kearns.
Yeah,
I mean,
I will text her right now.
Yeah, and Dawn will handle it for you.
Yeah, you can go to protectthevote.com or pa.protectthevote.com, Tom, and put in there your information, but I will text. I know Linda's preparing for court. But she's really great about, well, she was listening, obviously, at 6 a.m.
We started at 6 a.m.
Yeah, she always listens, and she does. She's one of the attorneys who, you know, sends us the updates, which we truly appreciate. But, Tom, just go to pa.protectthevote.com or just protectthevote.com. And if you can go, there's a section where you can ask the question. But I will text her right now.
It just doesn't have to be this way, right? It is not a, and I don't want to go, we've done it a million times, but it's not a complicated process. We make this such a muddy, murky thing when it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah.
It's like third world slapnut nations. I mean, come on, what are we doing here in this country? Anyway, 8 o'clock hour brought to you by Budget Blinds. The holidays are coming, don't we know it? Budget Blinds is your one-stop shop for blinds, shades, shutters, custom drapery, and motorization. Visit budgetblinds.com for a free in-home consultation and the only no-questions-asked warranty in the business. Schedule your holiday consultation today and ask about their special radio offer.
Speaking of the holidays are coming, either of you guys have your Christmas decorations up yet?
Nope.
No.
Yeah.
Do you?
No. It was 65 degrees yesterday.
I know.
It's 65 degrees today.
We didn't even have fall, and we're just jumping into Christmas.
We're going, so this Longwood Gardens, it's a weird year, right? Because Thanksgiving is late, so we're all going to get caught into that.
Yep.
Longwood Gardens opens, I think this Friday is their debut, so we're going Saturday with a bunch of family. But it's true that nobody has their, you know, nobody's going to be ready. Because all of a sudden, it's like, oh my goodness, it's Thanksgiving, and then boom, Christmas will be there.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm looking around at neighborhoods and stuff like that, and I'm taking notes of the people that have their Christmas decorations up yet.
It's
a little early.
I didn't even get my free turkey yet from the grocery store.
You need to at least wait until Thanksgiving weekend. Can we all just agree on that?
1,000%. Yes.
Whenever it is, if it's late, if it's early, it doesn't matter.
I don't know. I might. If it's nicer this weekend, I'm doing it this weekend because there are storms coming in.
We're
going to get rain. Storms coming in next week. Could be snow.
What a concept.
They don't like...
Could be a blizzard.
The YouTube chat doesn't like my rules because, you know, I have a rules because I said that ketchup is for seven-year-olds.
It is.
And I also said you shouldn't drink milk over the age of seven. And now I'm also saying that you shouldn't put your Christmas decorations up until Thanksgiving.
I agree.
Thanksgiving needs to be over before you have your Christmas decorations.
I am typically
up.
First Saturday of December. Well, you know, it's usually, you know, the second, the third.
It's going to fly, though.
Huh?
It's going to fly. It's going to fly by.
Good. I want it to fly right to April.
I think if you find a day that's weather-wise and with your schedule, then you got to do it.
All right.
Seize the moment. Carpe diem.
Friday or Saturday after Thanksgiving till January 1st, then we're done. That's it. Take all your freaking decorations down.
Yeah, I typically take them down right after my birthday, January 3rd. What's the chat saying now?
Nothing. I'm just saying.
Triggering people? Yeah. Is Justin in there crying?
No.
All right. Make sure you check in this week, Justin. Tell us what we're doing wrong. 855-839-1210, the phone number. Whoopi Goldberg with a whoops moment, and whoops. It might come back to bite her in the keister.
Uh-oh.
That's a big keister, by the way.
Man. Not by Mike Tyson.
Yeah, that's right. Not by Mike Tyson. He bites ears and boxing gloves. But first, take a bite out of your holiday budget by getting a new vehicle. Because let's face it, right? The economy's about to get better again. Trump's in office. You're going to be able to afford that new vehicle. So why go anywhere else other than the Piazza Auto Group? And we're talking now about the 2025 Hyundai Tucson. It is the brand's most popular SUV. Bold, all-new design with plenty of cargo space because, well, let's face it, Christmas tree, sporting equipment, groceries, golf clubs, you name it. We need more space than ever. And its standard all-wheel drive and great gas mileage will keep you prepared for any adventure. It's also a very snazzy-looking vehicle, I must say. It also protects you and your family with a best-in-class safety rating. Visit Piazza Hyundai of Pottstown off of Route 422 or Piazza Hyundai of Westchester right on Route 202. Online anytime at PiazzaHyundai.com. Tell them Nick sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.